unto thee, O Lord, we lift up our souls, for we do trust in thee. Let us ne'er be shamed, let none that conquered, none that wait on thee. Lead us in thy truth and teach us, on thee we wait all the day. For thou art the God of our great salvation, show us, Lord, thy way. Remember, Lord, all thy mercies tender, loving kindness too. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, do remember and make all things new. Lead us in thy truth and teach us, on thee we wait all the day. Thou art the God of our great salvation. Show us, Lord, thy way. Good and upright is the Lord God, our Savior. He will guide the meek. For the Lord's secret is with them that fear him. Thee may our eyes seek. Lead us in thy truth and teach us, on thee we wait all the day. For thou art the God of our great salvation, show us, Lord, thy way. For thou art the God of our great salvation, show us, Lord, thy way.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Beautiful song. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. We're waiting to get the last message from our long, long series that we've been looking at in the Gospel of John 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17. And I even looked at it this week to possibly preach, and the Lord didn't have that. So probably be the last message in the series, but whenever God wants me to preach that, I will. Tremendous wrapping up of all that God has done through us in Jesus Christ and his high priestly prayer that he has for us. I love the fact that Jesus did pray for me and is praying for me. Can I say this before we get into Matthew? God cares about you. God cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about everything you're going through right now. He cares about your struggles. He cares about your difficulties. He cares about the troubles that have come into your life. He cares about the temptations that you face and how to get over it. Jesus cares. He cares. And I struggle wrapping up John 17 because we have seen in five chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, that Jesus cares for you. We've seen a big, big, big heart that's bigger than this world, bigger than this universe. All of it for you. All of it for you. Nothing withholding. Nothing withholding. Everything he's given to you. Oh, what I don't understand is why. Why wouldn't we give him back our little insignificant lives when he has given to us so much? So much. We had some people come through our church a number of weeks ago that wanted some help. Anyways, we got to talk to them and we got to sit down and share the gospel with them. And they made a profession. And as we got done with that, I was able to give them a good truth, whether they took it or not. But the truth of the matter is when Jesus Christ gave himself 100% to us, he gave all. There was nothing withheld. He gave everything. He gave his physical and he gave his spiritual. We even got his righteousness. And I asked these individuals this question. If he gave us so much, could not we give him our lives, our time, our money? Couldn't we give him our Sunday morning? Couldn't we give him our Sunday evening? Couldn't we give him our lives? You know, and the response then is the same as if I asked you now. Of course. But how many times do we keep back something? I just want to encourage you to think about God's greatness. And we've seen that through our song service today. And so continue to think about it. We're in Matthew chapter 7, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. Last week we spoke on the danger of having a critical spirit. Having a critical spirit, we looked at Moses' life and how Miriam and Aaron were critical of him. A couple different things, and those really weren't the issue. The point was is they were being critical, and they used words, they spoke. And by the way, their spirit went on to other people. It got other people involved, and it just went downhill from there. And it's so dangerous. And in a church setting, a family setting, it's so dangerous to be critical of other people. God has made every one of us different. He's made us with different backgrounds, different ways we do things, different preferences. He's given us just difference in a lot of things. And so, and now, you know, combining all those differences, humanly speaking, it's very easy to be critical. We've got to remember that God made us all different. We've got to accept other people, and there's more ways to do things, and we've got to trust the Lord in the matter. And so we looked at the significance of a critical spirit. And we're not going to be so much talking about a critical spirit today, but it's going to come in play with that. And a topic that's addressed here before the scribes and the Pharisees is Jesus is giving here the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to see something that's so important just after he gets done telling them how to pray and how they should not do things in front of people. But at the same time, in their prayer, God would take care of their needs. They didn't have anything to worry about. You get to chapter 7, he starts off with a verse that so many people misuse. And in verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. We'll talk about that here in just a few moments. But let me give you a small, silly, I know, illustration that I hope that will help you out as we think through this to see what really Christ is trying to do here. What would you think if you're at home, and for some of those of you who are young enough to have children, little children, what would you think if your little Johnny came running into the house, and I know it's silly, running into the house and he had a 2x4 stuck through his eye? You say, that's impossible, okay? A 2x4 stuck through his eye, 2x4 is much bigger than mine. Just keep the illustration. He comes running into the house with a 2x4 through his eye, and he comes running and screaming. You're expecting him to say, Mom, I got a 2x4 in my eye. No, he says, Susie's got a piece of sand in her eye. You'd look at Johnny and say, what? You've got a 2x4 in your eye, and you're concerned about your sister. Now, that might be good and all, but it's absurd. How ridiculous. You know, in this passage, Jesus gives a very similar illustration of this, and he says also, how absurd, how ridiculous. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 to 5. He starts off, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye? And behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Father, would you please help me as I give your word this morning? Help the hearers as well. That your name be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first point that I want you to see is that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. The fact of the matter is we will be judged according and with the same measure as we judge other people. How many of you like to be judged? No, you don't need to raise your hand. None of us like to be judged, do we? We don't like other people to come and judge us and tell us how we're doing wrong and what we need to do. We don't like that. In fact, that goes against our nature. We don't like people telling us what we're doing wrong. And every time somebody tells us, we've got to put up our guard, we've got to try to be very careful that I don't get offended, that I don't get put down because this person's coming with some sort of a critical comment. And again, we talked about criticism, but it could be a positive criticism trying to help me. But we have a hard time with judging. Now, in the first two verses, he says, judge. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge. So the same judgment, that critical, that whatever we're given, whether it's positive or negative, whatever and however we judge, we will also be judged in the same way. The measure, the amount of that, it will be measured to us again. What does it mean to be judged? Now, we're not going to study the word in great depths this morning. One of the most out of context, misinterpreted and misapplied verses in all of Scripture. Judge not. And they even cut off the rest of the verse. Judge not. And anytime anybody says anything to anybody, the words come out, judge not. To judge is to distinguish. To distinguish. To identify. To make a decision, to decide. To declare what is true. On a once and for all final judgment. Now, when we take that definition again, to distinguish, to identify, to decide, to declare what is true. Now, when you take that, just that simple definition, is judging something that we do? Do we distinguish? We do. We distinguish between things all the time, right? We look at two different things and we distinguish the difference. We identify that is that and that is that. We decide and make a decision, don't we? I see this and I see that and I choose this. And we declare what is true. And every time we declare a truth, we are, in a sense, judging. It's the truth. Now, this judgment is implied to others. He's saying there in verse 1, you judge not others. What he's saying here is you know, you could look at a person, you can judge, you are a liar, you are a thief, you are a this, or you are a that, or you always. You ever heard people use those words? I've used them before. It's not very wise. You always do this. You never tell the truth. Well, that's not true. We're very quick to cast truth on somebody else. We see here in this passage that Jesus is telling us that if we pass judgment, declaring what is this person's person, if I could say that, we're going to be judged in the same manner. We will be declared who, what person is our own person as well. By the way, that is going to happen. Judgment of who we are. As I mentioned, it's not fun being judged. But it's interesting how we're so quick to pass judgment upon other people and be critical, as we talked about last week. One day we'll be judged as well. I like to look at this as the boomerang effect. You ever played with a boomerang before? I think we got one, and we couldn't really figure out how to work it, but we threw it, and it eventually started coming back to us. But what's the truth about a boomerang? If you throw it right, you know what to do, and it's made properly. You take a boomerang, and you throw it up the right way, and what was it supposed to do? It's supposed to come back to you, okay? But again, that's under the right circumstances. It comes back to you. So what goes around comes around. Okay, what's given out is going to come back. The Bible teaches us that we sow what we reap. You know, we're so critical, we're so judgmental towards other people. And again, we're going to come back to this judge not thing and how people misinterpret it. But the fact of the matter is that if we tie it into last week, we're so judgmental on a lot of people and what and how they do, why they do, and what's going on in their lives. And we're so quick without knowing all the facts, without knowing all the truth. And here he just starts off with, and I don't even believe this is the main focus of this passage, but he just starts off with, just be careful. Because the way you look at other people is the way you're going to be looked at as well. Be careful. Be careful. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to be judged the way you judge other people? Now that's a sobering thought. It's easy to go home on a day like today. The family's in the vehicle and you look at your wife and you say, did you see what that individual is wearing? Could you believe what they said to me? Did you hear that? I don't understand that person. The fact of the matter is there's probably another car and they're talking about what you said. What goes around comes around. We need to be careful. He says, with what measure ye meet, by the same standard that you're judging. You know what? There's a right standard and there's a wrong standard. We're talking about the wrong standard here. We need to be careful in our wrong judgment of other people. Let me take a parenthesis here. As I told you, we'd talk about this. There are many times. Look down at verse 5. The Bible does not say that we are not supposed to judge. That is not the truth. You know, judge not, period. And people stop the verse right there. That is not what is said. He's saying, judge, you make sure you don't judge other people the way you don't want to be judged, because what goes around is going to come around. But notice when things are taken care of in this individual's life at the end of verse 5, what does he say? And then, when you take care of things in your life, and then, does everybody see that? Verse 5. The end of verse 5. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Even in looking at verse 5, we see that there's a judgment of other people. God does call us to make judgment, to make a decision in what we see. God does do that. We've got to be careful not to call them certain things, but we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a discernment. In fact, doesn't God teach us all throughout the New Testament that we've got to be careful of those people that are wolves in sheep's clothing? You see, we're going to have to be able to discern what people are and what the truth is and what the truth is not. God does not want us to be people that just looks at everything and just accepts it all. God does not want us to not have any judgment and make any decisions in our lives that says, no, these people are wrong in this. We've got to do right. That's not what the Word of God says. This is how we need to decide this. We've got to separate from that. We've got to walk with what's right. That's all throughout the Scriptures, folks. God does not teach us not to judge, but He does teach us we need to judge in the right way. And there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And in Matthew chapter 7, He tells us a wrong way in which we look at other people. And that's what we're going to focus on. We're not just talking about judging here. We're looking at the wrong way in which we as humans at Faith Bible Church struggle. And how we look at others. And that's what I want to take time with this morning. So the focus here is on the negative, the critical spirit type. We've got to be careful because that same critical spirit, that same judgment, we will be judged as well. So very quickly, I could just ask, are you critical of other people? Just as we asked last week, are you critical of other people? Be careful because it's going to come around. But I want you to look at the next thing. As we see in verses 3 and 4, let me read those again and then let me give you the second point. And why beholdest thou the mote? It's a small, we would call it maybe like a sliver. A little piece of stick. Just a little tiny, you ever got a sliver before? And you thought that it was that big. Your finger was throbbing, your toe was throbbing, and you know, it's just like, oh, you can't walk, and you don't get it out, and it's huge, and then you pulled it out, and you can't even hardly see it. A sliver, okay? That's what he's talking about here, this mote. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? What's a beam? A beam, we're talking about a big beam, would make a 2x4 look small. I was in Wyoming when we were in Wyoming in January, the sick trip that you remember. We were all sick when we were there. We were able to go over to my sister's house one day, and we just basically transferred our sickness from my parents to her house. We went there and laid around the couch there. But we wanted to see their property. They were able to. My sister, she's 8 years younger than me. Her husband, he's kind of a country guy. He likes to be out in the kind of like me. I like that, even though I'm not. But out in the sticks. They bought a piece of property out in Farson, Wyoming, which is out in the middle of nowhere. I wouldn't pick to live out there. That's out in the sticks. There's no sticks. That's out in the sagebrush. There's nothing there. Okay. They moved out in the middle of nothing. And they have, is it 10 acres? They have 10 acres that doesn't look like 10 acres because there's nothing. It doesn't look big at all. It just looks like just a square, this rectangle piece of nothing and that they have out there. And they were out there, and they purchased this home that is really nice. It's a really nice home. It was all log. Now, it's a lot of upkeep, a lot of work. But it was all, I'm talking about logs like this, you know, just the big cabin type that's just through. And even inside, everything, you know, it's not drywall. It's logs. Everything is logs. In the center of that house, in a couple different places, were the biggest beams that I had seen to support that house. It was one piece. It wasn't a bunch of, you know, 6x6s or 8x8s put together. It was just a solid hunk. It was like a tree, okay, that just was taken off, you know, the edges and put in a square. We're talking about a beam, okay? So the difference between a beam and a sliver. Now, how many slivers make up that beam? You could never count, right? You could never count how many little slivers are there. You know, and if you were to start pulling out all the slivers out of this beam, it would take a long time to pull them all out. It is. It's a beam. Okay, now Jesus, you thought my illustration was ridiculous, you know, the 2x4, and that now I use a piece of sand, I should have used a little sliver, but you thought that was ridiculous. But that's really Jesus' illustration is times 100, times 1,000 to what I said. And here he gives this illustration. And the point that we want to see through these two verses, he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote," that little sliver that is in thy brother's eye, "but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Can you imagine? And you're all picturing this big old eye with a beam going through it. And you're picturing this other person has a little sliver. Now, a little sliver is a big deal in an eye. I wouldn't want a sliver in my eye. It's a big deal. It can cause a lot of problems. I remember when I was when I went on a missions trip to Ireland and London, went and played when I was on the football team from Maryland Baptist Bible College. We went to Ireland to do some football clinics, and then we worked with some missionaries. And when I was there in London, we were in London for 3 days, and we went to the hotel that was there. And when I was in the shower there, out of the shower head, a piece of metal came out, and it got me right in the eye. It was a little tiny sliver of metal. That sliver of metal did more to me in the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but it took me a couple of weeks to get that thing out because they didn't want to take me to the doctor. It took me getting a concussion during a football game to get me to the hospital for them to actually address this situation with the little mote that was in my eye. I praise the Lord they were able to. Oh, what a scary thing. I'm in Ireland. You know, it was social medicine there. I sat and sat and sat and sat and sat to get into a room. I finally was able to get back. I was on my own. The missionaries dropped me off there in the middle of Dublin, Ireland by myself. Then I went into this place, told him my name, and just sat there and waited. I finally got back there, curtains separating the rooms. You know, you're just like, what are they going to do? My eye is swollen shut. I had a patch and all this. It was a mess. I was a mess. They got in there, and this doctor comes in with a scalpel. Yeah, literally. He comes in with a scalpel, and he opens up my eye. He took it out. So I don't want to say that a sliver or a mote doesn't do anything. Oh, it does. It's a big deal. But what Jesus is saying here is how ridiculous, though, for that doctor to come and, you know, and if I could have imagined looking up at this doctor and this doctor walks in and his eye is as big as this, and he's got a huge beam that's, you know, 10 foot long through his eye, you know, and he's like, I'm going to take this sliver out of your eye. Now that's ridiculous. But that's what Jesus is saying here. And all of you would, in your right mind, would sit here and say, that is ridiculous. Now I build this story up to say, Jesus is telling us here, folks, it's just as ridiculous when we see somebody that has a problem. And yes, as I said, that little sliver in my eye could be a big problem. It can get big. You know what, folks? A little lie inside of our lives can become a big thing. A little deception here and a little stealing here and a little dishonesty here. Boy, those can turn into big things and they can get bigger and bigger. But how silly it is, he says, that you, with a huge problem, with this very issue, go and confront somebody else when in a sense, so much smaller than your issue. And we all say, that is ridiculous. The point number two that if you're taking notes, I want you to write down is, I must take care of my own problems before even thinking of other people's problems. We're so quick to look at people and we find, it's amazing that we are able to find all of the slivers in people's lives. I'm just being honest with you, I know it. If I put myself under the microscope to you this morning and I just said, okay, folks, I want you to be honest. Now, this would be the dumbest thing a pastor could do in a public setting. I would never do it. I don't recommend it. But if I could, if I said, I'm putting myself under the microscope for you today, I'm going to go around the room, and I'm going to start here with Pat and Skip, and we're going to go around, and I want you to tell me everything you can see in my life. Now, when I got done, you would be picking all the slivers out of me, and I would be left to nothing. I know that. But can you imagine if that would be the case? And Skip says, well, you know, and he says, you could do this, and boy, it'd be very destructive to me, and I'd take it, you know, because we all have issues. Don't we? We all have things. Can you imagine if every one of us took a turn up here and everybody just started picking away? Well, Pastor, you got this. And boy, you say this. And you have this bad habit of doing this. And boy, I saw you one time do that. And hear all of these things. And we start picking away at other people. But in reality, we sit there and say, boy, Pastor, you are, and inside we realize, but you have that problem as well. You do this too. You've got that struggle, and boy, you have this issue. That's what he's talking about here. Here we get to these verses, and the instructions become very pointed. The problem is greatly addressed. A mote, a twig, a little tiny thing, a big beam. And what Jesus wants us to do here is to start examining ourselves instead of being so quick to examine other people. It is so easy. And if you could say your assignment is not just with the pastor, your assignment is today analyze everybody. There's no doubt, and some of you know people more than others, there's no doubt that you could look and find problems with everybody here. I could give you a piece of paper and I could say, okay, I want you to analyze this congregation. I want you to write down everything that you can think of. You would be able to do it. You would be able to find the faults. They're numerous. We all have issues. It's like we talked about last week. We're all different. We all have our own issues. But why don't we do that? Because the fact of the matter is none of us here are perfect, and we can't do that. But the issue that he's dealing with here is we've got to be careful not to even think about others when we've got the same issue. And so what we ought to be doing today when we're driving home is right when we're ready to do something, we stop and think, you know what, do I have that issue? And when we recognize that we have that issue, we ought to just be quiet. God, would you help me to deal with this? We need to be very careful in our judgments of other people before we have taken care of the things in our own lives. Jesus says, before you even begin to help or confront others about their problems, make sure that those things, those sin problems, are taken care of in your own life. Let me ask you a question in tandem with last week's message. We looked at the issue of criticism. Have you been critical of other people? Have you been judging other people for the things that they do? Do you find yourself talking to your husband or your wife or your children or that friend at church about things, you know, this so-and-so and picking and pecking at other people? Have you stopped to consider about your issues that you have in life? You know, the best thing that this church could do, if every one of us would stop and say, you know what, I'm going to stop looking around at other people, but I'm going to go before a holy God and say, God, search me. Try me. Know me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. That's what we ought to do. And you know what? We think that we're going to solve our churches and our families and our works problems by finding all the problems out and telling everybody what their problems are. And that never helped anybody. But if every single person in this room, let's say there's 85 people here, if all 85 people would go home and say, God, would you show me what I have in my own life to get right? Do you realize that would be the fastest way that our congregation would be right? I want to encourage you to stop being critical, but I want to encourage you today to start going home and getting before the Lord. I want to be careful not to tell you to go home and you search your own heart out. Listen, that is not your responsibility. You know, when the psalmist in Psalm 139 is saying, search me, who is he talking to? He's talking to God. God, you show me. It's not, okay, I'm going to find out all my problems. Folks, if we do that, we'll dig ourselves into the hole, in the hole into a ground. But saying, God, you show me the areas of my life that I need to change. God is the true judge that ought to come in and come into our lives and show us and change us. We've got to let him do that. You know, and I've noticed in my life, can easily find how others are handling their situations in the wrong ways and overlook my own problems. You know, I tell my own children, be concerned about yourself. Be concerned about yourself. And it's true. Make sure that you are doing right. People, we need to stop finding the faults of other people and start getting our own sin taken care of. But I want you to see a third thing here that's listed in verse 5. He says, to this individual that feels like he's got the right to go around and pick out these little things, you know, and this person's got that, and this person, you know, they've got this issue, and that person over there, well, they're fairly good, but they've got this issue. He says in verse 5, the person that does that without examining their own life, thou hypocrite, he calls you a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You go around judging other people and you're pulling out these little things and you've got a big old problem of it yourself. You're a hypocrite, he says. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye. This is a tremendous thing here. Do you realize that a lot of the things that we think that we're seeing in other people are wrong because we're blind? Folks, we don't even have the right discernment to look at the other people's problems when we've got a beam in our own eye. It's impossible to judge right because I don't have clear thinking. You know what? When I had that piece of metal in my eye that was so small that you could look at my eye, you would barely be able to see a little blemish. You cannot see it any longer. But and they were able to get it all out. They told me I'd never have my vision, total vision back. And praise the Lord God, I went back to the United States and they checked it out, examined it, and I have just the vision I had before. And that's a blessing to me because it was a big deal. But I tell you what, my eye was so swollen shut and I looked crazy. You know, I had this thing and I was like, am I ever going to see again? But you know, as I had that, if somebody would have told me to use that eye to examine somebody else and find something, there's no way I could have done it. And if I would have saw something, it probably would have been wrong. Why? Because there was stuff all wrong with my eyes. And I could not clearly see. And when I thought I saw something, it was probably not there. Do you catch the illustration? We don't even have the ability to look at other people when we've got a beam in our own eye. And most likely, you judging that person, you're probably seeing the wrong thing because you've got such a big problem in your own eye. It's not until we're able to take that own beam out of our own eye and get that right, and get it all clean and all clear, that we're actually even able to see the problem in other people's lives. And I will submit to you this, if you're an individual here that tends to be critical, you see problems with all the people in here, I guess that you probably have a big old beam that you can't even see right. You're blinded. Take the beam out. And you might see that there's not so many issues out there as you thought. So before considering the problems that others have, let's get rid of our own. It is the duty. I'm not going to get bypass this. It is the duty of Christians to help and edify his brothers and sisters. And we need to preach on that more as well. It is our duty. When we have our eyes cleaned out and cleared, it is our duty to come alongside of a brother and to edify and build them up, not beat them down and say, you've got a problem that you need to take care of. No, how can I help you with this issue? It is our duty to do that. God does tell us to judge that way. But he makes a big rule here. He says, you're not prepared to do it. He doesn't say get it perfect, but he's saying that beam that you have with that same thing, get it right first before, so that you're seeing right before you go to that other person. The purpose of self-judgment is to prepare us to serve others. This is a quote by somebody else. Christians are obligated to help each other grow in grace. When we do not judge ourselves, we not only hurt ourselves, but we also hurt those to whom we could minister to. The Pharisees judged and criticized others to make themselves look good. But Christians should judge themselves so that they can help others look good. You see the difference? Let me read that last part again. The Pharisees judged and criticized others to make themselves look good. That comes back to last week's message on criticism. We're trying to make us look good and them look bad. Purely for our own self. So that we can look good, we judge. But the right Christian judging, Christians should judge themselves so that they can help others look good. And there's a difference in that. So the problem, we have beams in our eyes. With beams, it's rather difficult to see the specks, the slivers in others. So I ask you this morning as we close, what's your life like? Is it easy for you to find fault in others? Blaming others for things that happen in your lives? As soon as we pass judgment, tattle, blame, etc., we have stooped down and now have nothing. Now I am in sin. So three things in review. We have the boomerang effect. Just remember that what goes around comes around. How you judge, you'll be judged as well. Number two, we need to look on our own sin before we look at others. Number three, I cannot help others if I have my own problems, my own sin in my life. I want to ask you to consider these things. That we can be true edifiers, helpers to other people, but under the right circumstances. Father, we need your help. It's so easy. Human nature is that we, because we look at our own selves and we judge everybody else off of who we are. It is so easy to be blinded and to think that other people are certain ways when we can't even see our own problems. God, would you help us? Would you help us to, and God, would you search our hearts? Would you show us the areas in our own lives so that we can be useful and helpful in the lives of other brothers and sisters? God, help us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray.